Well, I mean, why don't we start off where you were born? Can you tell me a little bit about where were you born and when? What's your birthday?
The 11th of December.
11th of December?
Yeah, 11th of December. An Alabama kid.
Where, what town in Alabama were you
born? Montgomery.
In Montgomery. What was the year of your birthday? You mind telling us how old you are?
Well, that's a secret.
I'll never find out. Well, what did your folks do? Did any of them play music or sing? Or?
Well, my father, he was a minister. My mother, she was a Christian-hearted working woman. She sang Christian songs.
Did you ever sing with them in the church or when you were youngster?
Well, no, not exactly. I used to go to church a lot, but just singing, you know, I didn't do too much singing in church.
Did you grow up in the town of Montgomery, or did you?
I left there when I was 14.
Oh, you left there when you were 14?
Yeah.
Did you leave with your folks or just take off on your own?
No, I left with a show.
Oh, you left with a show? What was that? What was the name of it?
The Samuel Green's Hot Harlem Review.
Hmm.
Out of Atlanta, Georgia.
Is that right? How did they happen to find you? Did they hear you singing someplace?
Well, I did audition on this show when they was playing a little theater there in the hometown.
Oh, is that right? Hmm. And where did you tour?
We went Atlanta, Birmingham, and back home, and Columbus, Georgia, Macon, Georgia, and North, South Carolina, and Florida. We just toured practically everywhere.
What year was this roughly? Can you tell us?
Well, in...
Before the war?
Well, I started before the war, and then after the war broke out, then we went to and through Texas.
Hmm. What sort of things with it? Was this kind of a minstrel show, or was it just a music?
Well, a stage show, like, you know, playing in theaters.
Did they have dancers and comics and all that?
Yeah, dancers, course girls, comedians, singers.
Mm-hmm. And how long did you stay with them?
Well, up until 1948, that's when I left in Houston. I quit the show in Houston, Texas.
Did you go on your own from there in Houston?
Well, in Houston, I started recording records for Don Robey before I recorded from him, but he came out to the club I was working called the El Dorado Ballroom there on Elgin and Darlin to hear me sing. And right then, he wanted me under a contract, but I didn't sign right then.
Good. Who were some of the other people with you there at the time? Was it your band, or did you just play as?
No, I was playing with a group called Smiley. Ike Smalley. He was the band leader there at the El Dorado. That was his band. And then after he left, another band came in, Pluma Davis and his rock. We called them the House Rockers, and they were doing pretty nice.
who were some of the other, singers around town that you remember around, 48, around Houston?
Around Houston then? Well, Gate Mouth Brown, he was real hot there. He was on Peacock label. And Roy Brown, he was in town. He was pretty hot around in that length of time. And I got a chance to meet Louis Jordan when he come to town. Big Joe Turner. And
he used to be a real favorite around Houston, didn't he?
Yeah. Fats Domino, he was working around. That's when he put out this record. They called me the Fat Man.
Oh, yeah. And how long did you stay around Houston then?
In 51, I cut this record, Let Your Tears Fall, Baby. Then I went to San Antonio, and I worked down there. I worked in San Antonio for a while. And when I came back, I was working around Houston, different little nightclubs. And Johnny Otis, he came in town. That was in 52. So we did an audition on his show that night when I was working with Gate Mouth Brown. He wanted me to sing with his band. So I did a song with his band. And he liked the way I performed on the stage, so he hired me. So he took me on tour, New York.
Well, you toured with Johnny mm-hmm. Otis's band then?
Yeah, that's when I first went to the Apollo Theater in 52.
Oh, is that right? And did you also go to Los Angeles then?
Or? Well, we left Houston, and we went to Los Angeles. And while I was there, we recorded Hound Dog, but he did Don Robey put it on the shelf. So we go from Los Angeles, played in California. We played the tour here, Sweets Ballroom, San Francisco, the Fillmore Auditorium. Then we go back to Los Angeles, and then we leave Los Angeles and go back through Houston, Texas, Battle of the Blues with Gate Mob Brown. Then we leave there, and we goes on through Florida, then on back up on around the East Coast there, coming into New York. It goes into Apollo. That was in June 52. So the last part of 52, we goes Providence, Rhode Island, all the England states, Boston, Massachusetts, all around up through that.
And,
so we leave Providence, that's pretty close to Christmas. And I was supposed to go back. At least I wanted to go home. Kind of homesick, so I wanted to see the old gang. So I caught a train. I leave New York, come back to Houston. And I got there just a little before Christmas. So Don Robey, he put me on the show in his nightclub. And I worked that Christmas and that New Year's out to his club. That was before they tore it down. Called the Peacock. The Bronze Peacock, and they tore it down, made the office out of it. Now it's a big office where they cut records. They got a record studio in there where they record. And back in the back, they press their own records. In 1953, that's when I met Johnny Ace. So they sent me to Dayton, Ohio. That's where I joined him there. Playing, perform there at the theater there. I forget the name of the theater. But anyway, I was going to the theater, and I just turned the radio on in the car. And the man said, here's a record that's nationwide, Hound Dog by William A. Thornton. I said, that's me. I hadn't heard the record in so long. So when we got to the theater, they was blasting it. You could hear it from the theater, from the loudspeaker on out. Oh, they just playing Hound Dog all over the theater. So I goes up in the operating room. I said, you mind play that again? Because the man held the record so long, I forgot the words myself. So I was up in the so I stood there while he was playing it, listening to it. So that evening, I sang it on the show. And everybody went for it. So Hound Dog just took off like a jet. Right now, I wish I'd get another dog. With a cat or something.
And then I guess you toured around, and where did you finally come back out here again?
Well, before I came out here, I went back into the Apollo Theater in February 55. And when I came back, I toured around up that part of the country. That's when I ran into Big Maybell when I was battling the blues. So, well, that tour ended that way, so I drove on back down through Alabama, Georgia, stopping over, seeing friends, because I didn't have anything else to do. So I goes back to Houston. Well, we go on a tour with Gate Mob Brown. I work around with him, doing 56 apart, the first part of 56. Around Thanksgiving, I came out here, and I haven't been back.
How did Robey used to book you? Did he have a booking agency?
Yeah, well, Don Robey didn't actually book me. Evelyn Johnson was booking it, all the Buffalo booking agents.
Oh, I see. That isn't run by Robey, as
much. Well, I don't know whether he had anything to do with it or not, but it's coming out of his office there. You know, Peacock, you know, the stabbing.
They call it. His artist. How did you pick up most of your songs?
Well, Some I wrote myself. Some other people, you know, write and I sang them. And
like about that Hound Dog and I Smell Rat, were those two writers there? Did they just happen to be there? Or?
Well, Jerry Lieber, he wrote Hound Dog and I Smell a Rat. Jerry Lieber and Mike Stroll, they wrote that, those two numbers there. Mm-hmm. And they wrote both sides of that record, if I'm not mistaken. Nightmare was on the first Hound Dog, they wrote both sides of that record. Mm-hmm.
Were they from Houston or what?
No, actually, they are right now. They're from New York, but mm-hmm. they were staying in Los Angeles at the time when they.
Oh, I see. They were
you know, yeah, they were down in Los Angeles. They know Johnny Otis very well, you know.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they've written a lot of songs, like for the Coasters. I think they wrote that Yakety Yak.
Yeah, and I know they wrote quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah. who were some of your favorite singers when you were a youngster? You know, when you were just growing up.
Well, I didn't have no favorite singer. I just admired good singing, you know. But since...
Did you hear anybody you liked when you were in Birmingham still? Or?
No. Well, and my favorite blues artist was Muddy Waters and Big Maceo and be surprised. Lowell Fulsom. All the cats, man, I admired them, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Roy Brown, I sang all of his songs.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I didn't have no hit record, but I was singing everybody else's record.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I went into the Apollo Theater, you'd be surprised what I went over with, big.
Mm-hmm.
Have Mercy, Mercy Baby by the Dominoes.
Oh, yeah.
Billy Ward the Domino. That time when Clyde McFadden was there with him, you know.
Yeah, I sure remember.
That was the first time I'd ever been to New York.
That song might actually be a good song for you to redo, that Have Mercy, Mercy, Baby.
Yeah, that's a nice tune. I like
that. I have that record here. What did your parents think of it when you started singing kind of blues and that church music?
Well, I lost my mother in 39. Well, I wasn't singing blues when I was then. No, I wasn't doing anything. We're just staying around home. Time then.
Is that when you left home after your mother died?
No, I didn't leave right away.
Hmm.
I didn't leave right away.
But you said that you like to sing, you know, gospel songs. Have you ever, you know, seriously thought about, you know, making maybe some records of you know, spirituals and gospel songs?
I've thought about it a great deal. And I would like very much to do spirituals. Because I feel that I got the voice. I feel like I got the power. I just feel like I can just do them. I just like, in a fine condition. You'd be surprised. Mostly my occupation every morning is turn on my radio, listen to spirituals. I love those spirituals. I love good singing. And like the Dixie Hummingbirds, the Soul Stirrers, Mahalia Jackson, the Davis Sisters. Oh, man, I mean, and the Five Blind Boys of Mississippi. Oh, they just knocked me out, I'm telling you. When I hear good singing, I love it. And back then, I love all good singing.
Yeah, I think that's the story. You mean you sort of really got into blues because people wanted you to sing them more or less,
Well, how I got into blues, because I didn't know anyone at the time to do what I wanted to do. And back in this, when you're hungry, you try to make a fast buck to try to stop from being hungry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I hope that you can, you know, do the things that you want to do as far as I'm concerned. You know, I'd like to make some records and do whatever you want to do. I mean, that's the way I look at it.
I would like very much to cut some spirituals. Get me a good group behind me and cut some nice old time record, you know, spiritual records, because I like good singing.
I guess you don't want to talk too much about your early days. I'm always interested, you know, how people get started and how what you hear around you. I mean, you didn't hear much except your family and people and singing in church and so on.
No, not too much about that.
Who else was on that show that you auditioned for when you started? Were there any names that I may recognize?
A young man was singing on the show at the time called Billy Wright.
Oh, yeah.
He made a nice hit record. And he was doing real nice on that. He got on Savoy label, and he was doing pretty nice on that. I haven't heard from Billy in quite a while.
But you don't remember hearing any low-down blues guys around your hometown?
No.
Guys like... Muddy Waters in that style. You didn't have
to. Well, and Muddy Waters and Jimmy Reed wasn't. I didn't hear of him until lately here.
Yeah.
Well, Muddy Waters, he was out. He was doing something. Howlin' Wolf, they was doing. They was on label.
Yeah, but you didn't hear any local people down there.
No.
Alabama.
No, the thing I heard local was some spiritual quartets, and I don't forget the name of that. Been so long.
Yeah, it's very strange that there's so few, you know, most of the blues singers seem to come out of Mississippi or Texas.
Well, I haven't, you know, I didn't get to, you know, hear anything about nothing like that until after I had started singing and was already gone away. And then and people tell me, say, well, I'm from Montgomery, I'm from Alabama, or, you know, Tennessee, but I didn't know anything about them, you know, because they came along behind me.
How did you meet up with this fellow, Brad Taylor?
Brad Taylor? He got a record on the shelf. Do you know that Sentimental Reason thing I used to do? I cut a tape on that, and I don't know what he did. I guess he wore the tape out. He won't release the record.
Did you meet him when you worked in San Francisco, I guess?
Yeah, I met Brad while I was working in Santa Cruz, San Francisco, around the Bay Area here.
Anything you want to tell us about yourself to that? Maybe you want to tell the world about it.
Yeah, I need a job. I need a job. I need help. Help. See, there's so many youngsters jumping up now. They forget about the old timers.
Yes.
And right now, they'd be surprised that the old timers got more to offer than some of those youngsters.
And I noticed that, you know, things are changing so fast, it seems like even people like Charles Brown, you know, and everybody...
Yeah, you don't...
Just, you know,
that's right.
Big artists like yourself, and all of a sudden all these crop of new kids coming in, and it's so hard to...
You know, if people will just come out and listen to the old-timers, and they'll realize that they can... Old-timers are still going.
Yeah, okay.
Me, all I just need to break. All I want to do is put something out there that means just let me sit down and just take my time, put some good background behind it, and let me just show the world what I got. That's all I want.
Yeah. Well, I hope we'll be able to do that.
Let's go to show you now. Like you singing on the stage. Now, on the stage, I can perform 40 minutes and never say the same thing twice. But see, it just comes to me like that.
Yeah.
And I can just start to sing it and make a song right on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just making up a song on the stage and you get that feeling and got somebody behind you that grew it, it comes out much better anyway. Because to my idea, to like a person write a song, they have given me songs, and I wind up changing that song completely. Because to my idea, it's just like when I made this Summertime. I didn't do it like the everybody else do it. I do it different. And the flip side, called Truth Comes to the Light, the man that wrote that side, he gave me the words and I changed it around completely. Mm-hmm. And Truth Come to the Light was, to me, to my idea, it sounded better than Summertime.
Mm-hmm. I never heard that. I heard the Summertime once, so I can let you once play it. I've been meaning to get that record. I can't find it.
And this new record, I got an answer to Hound Dog called Tomcat.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Have they put that out?
Well, they released it the day, and I said, say my president got assassinated. And so that stopped that.